Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity now to look at your word together. And we pray that you bless us with understanding, help us in our minds and our wills to be changed by you, and show us wonderful things about yourself to bring praise and glory to our lips, and through that into our lives, that we would live for you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder what you pray for your friends. What do you pray for? If you're following in the new sheet, there's some gaps you can fill in. What do you pray for? And I hope that you pray for your friends' needs, the things they need in their life. That's what prayer is about, isn't it? Asking God to help people because of what they need. And we're going to see in this passage today that we've got to change what we're praying for our friends, because we probably haven't understood their needs. We're still going to pray for their needs, but the passage is going to show us some different things to pray for. We're starting in chapter 2, verse 1, and it begins talking about prayer. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people. It's all about prayer. And then it goes on from verse 3 to talk about God and the gospel, the good news of Jesus and what he's done. And what we discover is that the gospel affects the way we pray. It's packed with amazing and life-changing truths, this passage. And it's going to show us what we need as people. And because of what we need, what we pray for. What do we need? What do we need? Oh, sorry, come back to that. People need to hear and trust the truth. I'm following this line on the sheet here, filling in the gaps. People need to hear and trust the truth that Jesus is uniquely able to bring us to God, rescuing us by the ransom he has paid for us. There it is. People need to hear and trust the truth that Jesus is uniquely able to bring us to God, rescuing us by the ransom he has paid for us. And we're going to see that worked out from this passage. Where have we got to so far in the letter? Well, it's a letter. It's from Paul, the apostle, who we discovered has got God's authority to teach people the gospel in particular, and particularly reaching out to Gentiles. He's writing to Timothy, who he had helped come to the Lord. And now Timothy is in Ephesus, helping the church there, the people gathering there in the name of Jesus, helping them to grow in Christ and live for him. And if you look over to chapter 3, verse 14, you'll see that Paul tells us why he's written. Chapter 3, verse 14. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing to you with these instructions so that, if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. So Timothy will know how people should behave in the church. And that's wonderful because it helps us as well. We should find out from this letter how to behave as God's people gathered together. And so far, Timothy has been told he's got to stick to the gospel and not go off after other ideas, legalism or myths and arguments. And now Paul is saying to him he wants Timothy to get people to pray. And he wants to get them to pray when they're gathered together, but to pray in line with what God wants and with what God thinks people need. So let's look at those two things. Let's look at what people need and how that changes our prayer. What do we need? What do we need? Well, if you go on the internet, it tells you all sorts of things that people need. We need food. We need shelter. We need sleep. We need drink. These are basic needs, aren't they? Without those, we can't survive. Those are called survival needs, but there are more needs. So you can line up a whole lot of other needs. There are safety needs. There are love and belonging needs, things we need to give us a sense of that. Self-esteem needs, so that we feel like we're worth something. And top of the pile, apparently, self-fulfillment needs, so that we're actualized people. I've just told you, basically, Maslow's hierarchy of basic needs. There you go, it's one of those things, apparently. But nowhere in that list is anything to do with what God says we need. It's extraordinary, isn't it? And in this passage, we do find that. We find that people need to hear and trust the truth, that Jesus is uniquely able to bring us to God, rescuing us by the ransom he's paid for us. There are six needs in this passage, six needs. And the first is this, rescuing. We're people who need rescue. Have a look at verse 3. He's described how they should pray in verses 1 and 2 and says, this is good, praying is good, and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved. Saving is God's business. What is God like? He's the Saviour. What are we like people? We are people to be saved. Verse 4. We need rescuing. We don't need self-fulfillment. We need rescue. We don't need to be decluttered. We need to be saved. Why do we need that? Well, it's because we don't live God's way in our lives. We go our own way instead of his, and so we face the consequences of his judgment. So, for example, we human beings, we like to hold grudges, don't we? Imagine made-up name and made-up situation. Imagine Jemima. And Jemima has the vicar around to talk to her about her mum's funeral. And Jemima says to the vicar, my sister had better not come. Well, why is that? Says the vicar. Jemima says, well, mum hadn't spoken to her for 10 years. Tragic, isn't it? 10 years that family had been split apart. And although I've made up that situation, that kind of thing happens all the time. Why is it we hold grudges like that? We're unforgiving. What does Jesus say? Luke 6:37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. We don't do what Jesus wants. We hold grudges instead. We don't forgive. We judge each other. We condemn people. We need rescue. What about hatred? Hatred's a real problem, isn't it? Particularly in our country at the moment. Again, made up names, made up people. There's Bill and Roger. Bill, beginning with B, he is a Brexiteer. And Roger, beginning with R, he is a Remainer. Bill and Roger. Bill says, Roger's an idiot. Roger says, Bill's just ignorant. And there's hatred and anger. And Jesus says, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, this is Matthew 5:21. You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders shall be subject to judgment. But I tell you, says Jesus, that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Our anger is not what Jesus wants, and our hatred. We need rescue. What about you and me? Are we any different? There are areas in our lives where we too go our way and not his way. We need saving. And the good news is there's a saviour. Remember last week, Paul said this in chapter 1, verse 15. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the worst. And here it is in our passage, verse 3. This is good prayer, and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved. We need rescuing. We also need to understand the truth. We need to understand the truth. This is something else God wants, isn't it? Verse 4. God wants all people to be saved, and he wants all people to come to a knowledge of the truth. It's God's desire for us to come to understand the truth. And it's about change and movement. It's about our minds being changed. We're coming to a knowledge of the truth. It's something we didn't have before. So years ago, I did a degree in maths at university. And the first term, I diligently copied down things off the blackboards as we had then, without understanding an awful lot of what I was writing down. And I spent the first holiday over Christmas reading all my notes, trying to work it out until the penny dropped. And I came to an understanding of that first term of maths at last. I had to do the same in the second term and so on. But anyway, we need to come to an understanding, not of maths, but of God and his truth. And none of us can do that on our own. We need God's help. And there's divine help because he wants all people to come to knowledge of the truth. And notice what he wants us to come to knowledge of. truth. Truth. There's something that is correct and right for all people. Timothy lived in Ephesus, and Ephesus was a city where there were lots of people with different beliefs. Greek philosophies, Greek gods, Roman gods, and the Jewish God. All these different beliefs. And the church might have said to themselves, oh, there's all these different beliefs out there. They all got their own faith. We've got ours. Let's just keep to ourselves. And there's a danger we might be like that here in Morden. We live in a town where there are many different beliefs. We might say, oh, these people have got their theories and their beliefs and their philosophies. And we've got ours. Let's just stick to ourselves. Everyone's okay. And God says no. And Paul writes no. God wants all people to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. This is a public truth for everyone. You know the difference between public and private truth. So private truth is like Marmite. Marmite is wonderful. That's a private truth. True for me, might not be true for you. Is it? Hands up. Marmite is wonderful. There you go, see? Marmite is awful. It's a private truth. It's relative. Now, electricity will kill you if you put your fingers in the plug. That's true for me. It's true for you as well. That's a public truth. There's no relativism about that truth. And that's what proper truth is. And Jesus is a public truth. He is true for all people. And God wants all people to come to a knowledge of the truth, to change. Have you accepted God's truth? Perhaps that's something that you need to be working on, understanding more, asking God for that understanding. Have you accepted that all people need God's truth? Or maybe you thought it was fine for just us in our little huddle in here and other people out there are okay. No, people out there also need God's truth. So we need a rescuer. We need to understand truth. We need as well a mediator. A mediator. How can we stand before the holy God? We're too sinful. We need someone to stand on our behalf. And God knows our need. And he wants all to come to knowledge of the truth, verse 4. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. That's verse 5. There's one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. There's something unique about Jesus, something only Jesus has got and no one else. He's a mediator. He stands between us and God, as it were. Jesus the Son, between us and the Father, representing us to God, speaking up on our behalf, telling God about the forgiveness that he's won for us. Buddha hasn't done this. Muhammad can't do it. Nor Nietzsche or Freud. Richard Branson, Holly Willoughby, neither of them can do it either. The Pope can't. Justin Welby can't. Only Jesus. And he can. And God has provided him. There's one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. What wonderful news. Perhaps you want help to get your sin sorted out. There's a mediator, Jesus. Perhaps you think that sometimes you've just blown it once too often. There's a mediator, someone who stands there on your behalf before the God of the heavens, the Father. The Son stands there and he says, I have died for that person. Wow. These are great needs, aren't they? And they're met by God, a rescuer, knowledge of the truth, a mediator. That's only three, we've got six. Number four, a ransom. A ransom. How can the judgment for my sin be taken away? How can Jesus, the mediator, stand for me? Because God has provided a way in Jesus' death on the cross where a ransom is paid. I don't know if you've seen on Facebook, there's an article doing the rounds saying that nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus died for your sins. And you read this article, it's very plausible. And it says that the words just aren't there. Oh, brothers and sisters, they are. They're here. This idea of the ransom. It's about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. There, he takes on himself our sin so that we can be free. He pays the price for our sin like a ransom. Verse 5. There's one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who, verse 6, gave himself as a ransom for all people. Gave himself as a ransom for all people. This is wonderful, isn't it? This echoing Jesus' words from Mark 10, where Jesus said, "The Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." It's a straight quote, isn't it? Jesus is talking about the cross. Paul is talking about the cross. What about the ransom? Well, think of Somalian pirates. Somalian pirates. Somalia, East African state, and off the coast there, it's a route for a lot of shipping. But the pirates who are based in Somalia take their little boats out with machine guns and weapons, and they hijack the boats, and they capture the crew. And they then ask for a ransom. And typically, around about $2 to $3 million gets paid to set those people free and to be released from the pirates. $2 to $3 million of ransom money. And it's as if, with us, sin and judgment have kidnapped us and have us captive. And Jesus pays the price. It's not $2 to $3 million. It's his own life. And he pays the price, and so we're set free and released from the kidnap. How did he do it? He gave himself. He died on the cross. His death on the cross is what did it. Who's it for? It's brilliant, isn't it? It says it here. He gave himself as a ransom for all people. Is there anyone who doesn't need Jesus as a ransom for them? Is there one of you here today who's good enough for God without Jesus paying the price? No. Is there anyone who's right with God another way? Maybe out there in the streets, our neighbours, people with other philosophies and ideas. No, there's no other way to be right with God. But the ransom's been paid. And so there is a way with Jesus. Do you need this ransom? Yes, you do. And it's been paid against your account. It's another need that we have. We need rescuing. We need to understand the truth. We need a mediator. We need ransom. We need as well witnesses. This is the truth that we're talking about, and truth needs evidence. You'd never have a court case without someone giving evidence, would you? You'd have witnesses standing up and saying, "I saw this happen. I saw that happen. Here's a document. Here's a photograph to prove it." Witnesses and evidence. And the same is true with this. And Paul says, verse 6, "This has now been witnessed to at the proper time." And it has. It's what the New Testament is all about. It's not made up stories and myths. It's eyewitness evidence. The New Testament apostles all saw the risen Lord Jesus. And in one way or another, they speak about him and give that evidence. Are you someone who isn't gullible? You're maybe cynical and you need things proving to you. The evidence has been provided. It's been witnessed to at the proper time now. And then the last need, heralds. Heralds. As well as witnesses, you need heralds. You need someone to give the evidence, and then you need someone to proclaim it, to tell other people, to boast about it, to explain it, to enthuse, to advertise. It needs telling. And that's Paul's job. Verse 7, "And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles," the non-Jews. Is Paul's job a job he was handing on to Timothy? It's Timothy's job as well, to testify to these things, to tell them. And so it's my job too, to be someone who's a herald of the gospel. And it's our job as a church now, in our community, to be heralds of this good news. People have got these needs. Rescue. The need to understand the truth. The need for a mediator, a ransom. And witnesses, and they need heralds too, and that's our role. God has provided for all of this in our Lord Jesus Christ, through the apostles, and in us today. What do we need? People need to hear and trust the truth that Jesus is uniquely able to bring us to God, rescuing us by the ransom he's paid for us. So people need to hear and trust the truth. Hear, that's why we have heralds. Trust, that's why we have witnesses. The truth that we've heard about, that Jesus is uniquely able to bring us to God, he's the mediator, rescuing us by the ransom he's paid for us. That's all six of our needs. So then, how then do we pray? How does that change our prayer? Well, surely we pray for what we need, what our friends need, don't we? And now God has told us what they need. Surely we pray for what God wants in his world. Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as in heaven. What does God want? He's just told us what he wants. Perhaps you're someone who doesn't yet believe in Jesus. Then ask for his help to understand. Praying is not hard. Praying is just talking to God. It's hard in the sense that we can't see him, we can't hear him. We have to trust that he hears us. But he is the sovereign of the universe, and he said that he will. So find a quiet place on your own. Talk to him in your head or out loud. Don't expect to hear a voice or reply, you won't. But trust that he hears. And if you want to hear a voice from God, open up the Bible and read that. But why not, if you're not yet trusting him, ask for him to show you his rescue, to show you his truth, to show you his mediator and his ransom, to make that evidence clear for you, to enable you to hear. Why not ask for that? See what he does. Perhaps you are trusting in Jesus. Then what does the passage tell us to do? Verse 1, I urge them that first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. There are two sides to this, aren't there? There's a prayer for all people, and then there's a prayer for those in authority. And those three words, petitions, prayers and intercession, people who study these things say they can't tell any real difference between them. They're all about asking God. Ask, ask and ask. Thanksgiving, add that in as well, remembering to say thank you. So what do we pray for all people? And what do we pray for rulers? It's all about the gospel, because God is the saviour who wants all people to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. So for all people, we can pray for those needs that we've heard about. And for kings and authority, he tells us, so that we might live peaceful and quiet lives. In other words, the conditions needed for the gospel to spread. So for example, what should we pray for Brexit? Why don't we pray that whatever happens, in the midst of whatever turmoil comes our way, it would be better afterwards for sharing the gospel with people. Whatever that looks like. That more people would realise that there's a saviour, that there's truth, that God has sent a mediator who's paid a ransom. There's evidence for it. And more people would hear that message from the heralds. What about how we pray for our friends? Well, sure, pray for their broken ankle or whatever. But what do they really need? What do they really need? They need to hear and trust the truth that Jesus is uniquely able to bring us to God, rescuing us by the ransom he's paid for us. Let's pray that for our friends. Let's pray now. Let's spend a moment in quiet, just bringing before the Lord our response to his word. Why don't I just read through the passage and we can respond in our hearts with prayer. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time, and for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying. And a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Help us, Lord, to pray in accordance with your will and the needs that we have. pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.